We've been working through this series, Our Lives Under Construction, and this is a series we worked through 6 years ago, but have had so much interest in that. And so we have continued to return to that one and working through that series. I trust that God is using it to help really bring some healing and some instruction and in your own lives as we kind of work through this journey. I was really struck last week, particularly, maybe even more so than when we went through this the first time, of so many people that are hurting as a result. I know that I heard from a few people this week, and really they shared their own personal journey and how they are going through such pain as a result of some abuse and something that has happened in their life in some really very difficult places. And so I really felt burdened for those. I felt burdened that before I begin today, it would be really important that I would share just an opportunity to pray that God would work through this and bring healing, not hurt. Because I know that sometimes when we dig into some of those things that are part of our past, it kind of reopens pain and it reopens those things. And they're so challenging already. And sometimes we just try to keep them down and push down so that we don't have to deal with them or think about them. Let me say this, that this often happens, that people have been able to kind of almost block out and sometimes completely block out abuse and pain that they've gone through. And then when their body and their mind starts to get relaxed, it comes more to the surface. And sometimes when you're experiencing healing and you're actually growing and developing and feeling more secure in your world, it starts to come to the surface. And many times there are people in their 40s and 50s who have not really dealt with these things that suddenly at this time period, they start to come out and start to come back in memories. Those are hard places and those are hard things. And so I wanted to particularly have prayer for you this morning. But before I begin, this past week, I put it on my Facebook. There was a video that came on, and I felt it was such a powerful testimony of how God can bring healing when we are desiring for that to happen. And so I felt I wanted to share that with you first. And then at that point, I would like to have prayer in regard to that. Let's watch that video first.
And at age 16, she got pregnant. We call it having a trick baby. Two strangers meet for a business transaction, and there's a mistake. The pimp said, "You can't make any money having a baby in the oven. We have got to kill this baby." They kicked her in the stomach. They fed her alcohol. They gave her drugs. They took a hanger and stabbed the baby over and over again, but the baby would not die. The baby was born 2 months premature with no pancreas, a learning disability, a bladder too small, unable to function, a severe stutterer. We call it a trick baby. Nobody wants the baby. No hope, no future. Kill it, was the word. That baby was me. I'm the lowest of the low. I come from the guttermost. I come from a hellish condition. And so when I would go to school, I couldn't talk. I stuttered so severely from the trauma. My mother had a madam who hated men. Her name was Dolores, and she was a sadist. And when she would watch me, she would take a broomstick and stick it in a place where no boy should have any object in his body. And when you are tortured like that, you learn four things: don't talk, don't trust, don't feel, and pretend nothing is happening. And by age 10, I had had enough. I wanted to die. And in my school, they put me in a boiler room with other kids who were dysfunctional like me, where we would finger paint all day long. And yet there was a teacher, thank God for her, who had a Gideon Bible. And she came to my school and she saw kids like me as her mission field. And she would give me this Gideon Bible and read to me stories of dysfunctional characters who God used. She would say to me, Ronaldo, God uses greatly those who have been wounded very deeply. He will turn your pain into power, your wounds into wisdom. She had me read the story of Moses, who was also a stutterer. I began to understand that God did love a trick baby. Even as low as I was, there was hope for me and possibility. And when a child begins to understand the love of God and the power of His word and the possibilities, it changes everything. How can a young man keep his way clean? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I began to memorize the Bible, that Gideon Bible, reading 2,000 scriptures. And when you put that kind of word in a life, something begins to happen. My stuttering went away. I stopped wetting the bed. I stood tall. I became valedictorian, became a pastor and priest until everybody in my family got saved. Why? Because somebody placed the Gideon Bible in a woman's hand that changed a life forever. Yes! I was born a trick baby, but the trick was on the devil because of you and the power of the Word of God.
Amen. I don't think there's a more powerful testimony that I've ever heard of transformation, of what God can be able to do through the hurt and pain that we've experienced. I don't know what your hurt and pain is, but I do know that it is challenging for every one of us, no matter how severe it is. Let me first say that it is not your fault. Whatever abuse you experienced, it is not your fault. And I want to make sure that that is heard clearly, because I know that many times we carry guilt that we don't need to carry. And we need to make sure that we understand clearly that God is there with us in our pain, and He wants to work through that. And He wants us to experience healing as we have our full trust in Him. Let me pray. Father, as we talk about these kinds of things and we talk about the hurt and pain that the enemy would bring on us, we know that you don't take away consequences. We know that there is pain that's been inflicted on many that are here today. We know that they may have struggled with this all their lives and may be experiencing that even today. But Father, help them to be able to know that there can be healing in the name of Jesus, that you can be able to bring all that is needed in their lives to help them to experience wholeness, holiness, health, and all that you want to be able to do. Help them to be able to know how you want to do that and how you want to work through that. Lord, help me as your servant that I would speak your words and give tools to your people to better know how to live for you. In Christ's name, amen. We're talking about healthy boundaries and what that means in our lives and how to put those in place. Last week, we talked about the fact that God is the author of boundaries in our lives, in all of our relationships, and that He began that from the very beginning with the Ten Commandments, telling us that these are healthy boundaries that need to be put into each of our lives. The promises of God are also a means of increasing our relationships with others. And there's biblical instruction as to how that we can have healthy relationships within the church and what needs to be a part of that. So as we would look at those, we know that also discipline is a part of maintaining those boundaries. And so each of our lives needs to make sure they're in place in that way. Now, God provided these boundaries to protect us in our relationships. He brought them to bring security to our relationships so that we could be able to sense and know that. He also brought it for freedom, that we could be able to have and experience the kind of freedom that he wants for us, as well as bringing order to all that we do. Now, that was last week's message, and if you were not here and you want to hear more in regard to that, you can go online and listen to that as well. Let me talk about the unhealthy boundaries will hinder our relationships. Unhealthy boundaries will hinder our relationships. It's so easy for us to get caught into unhealthy boundaries. As I talked about last week, the fact is, if you have experienced pain and your boundaries have been violated, then as a result, what takes place is it's harder for you to know what is healthy and what is not healthy, because it's just really challenging. Now, I have to say, this is not always true for every person. Sometimes people amazingly are able to come through circumstances and places, and they're able to experience really a healthy life and a healthy perspective in spite of what they've come through. But that's really the exception. Most times when we've come through very challenging and difficult times and have had our boundaries be violated, then it becomes very hard for us to be able to know where to put our boundaries in a healthy manner. Now, violation of boundaries is not just sexual abuse. It can be emotional abuse. It could be physical abuse. It could be verbal abuse. And sometimes what may seem to one person, you know, as like really? I mean, it wasn't a big deal, but it feels like a big deal to that person. And so we don't really know. I mean, every one of us is wired and designed differently. And so I know that my mom, very early in our world, I was the second born in our house. And so firstborn needed to be handled one way. Secondborn had to be handled a different way. And my mom realized that very quickly because I didn't need to be spanked, which was very common at that point. And they had lots of practice on the firstborn. I know this is on tape, and he'll get me for this. They had lots of. But by the time secondborn, I really only needed to be talked to. In fact, you had to make sure you talked to me not harshly, because I responded very quickly, and I got very uncomfortable when it was very harsh. And so fortunately, they saw that and they knew they had to be handled differently. Now, sometimes in personality, there's one personality that seems to be resilient and can handle things, or another personality, it's not, they handle it very differently. And so what may appear abuse to one may not to another, or vice versa. So I'm just saying all of this, that it's sometimes hard for us to be able to differentiate what is and where the pain is and what it means. But they will hinder us. Scripture says this, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts, anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I'm afraid when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged." Now, looking at this, the results of how their unhealthy action and unhealthy responses to things come when we don't have healthy boundaries. And so when we have healthy boundaries, we can help prevent some of those things, falling into those things, getting into the problems or the jealousy. For example, gossip. When someone comes to you and wants to talk about something, if you're not part of the problem or part of the solution, you shouldn't be listening. That's a very simple thing, because somebody comes to you and they're telling you something about somebody else or about the church or about this. Your first response should be, do you want me to go with you to that person to get the answer to this? And they say, oh, no, I just need somebody to talk to. And then you stop it and you say, I'm not the person. You need to find somebody who's a part of the problem or part of the solution. Now, let me say this. Every one of us needs to have healthy boundaries in regard to this, because if we don't, we open ourselves up to inappropriate conversations, to sin that happens. And so we have to make sure there are healthy boundaries. We take responsibility for our actions. That's a really important part. Each of us needs to take responsibility for that. If you'll turn on to the back of your outline, let me share a few of those things that are symptomatic of those who have not accepted personal responsibility. Because here's what happens. We kind of throw ourselves into these situations when we have not. Now, you may identify with some of these or none of these or all of these, but here's the importance. It means that I have to accept personal responsibility, so I am realizing what part I play in this. Here's some responses that happen when we're not accepting responsibility. It's not my fault. I am the way I am. We can't rely on that. Some people say, I'm Irish, I have a hot temper. That's just it. Like, really? That gives you right to be able to yell or to lose it because of your ethnicity? No, I don't think so. The fact is that we are responsible for our actions, and you can't throw off on anything else. I never asked to be born. Now that you have me, what are you going to do with me? As if somebody else has the responsibility for my action and I'm not accepting mine. I want you to fix me. No one can fix you. You have to take that responsibility and to make sure. Life is unfair. It does seem unfair. I totally agree with that. But there's no sense of trying to take control of my life. Yes, there is. Don't use an excuse. Why go on? I see no use in it. You can't help me. Nobody can help me. I'm useless and a failure. And so this is just feeling sorry for ourselves. God has asked too much of me this time. There's no way I'll ever be able to handle this. When do the troubles and problems cease? When you go to heaven. We heard about that this morning in our song. I'm tired of all of this. Right. You can either take that attitude or move on and realize, stop the world, I want to get off, I'm sure. Life is so depressing. If only I had better luck and had been born to a healthier family or attended a better school or gotten a better job, there's always an excuse. And so instead of owning the responsibility, I have. You know, maybe you grew up in a very dysfunctional home. Maybe your family was very dysfunctional and you had to experience that. Some point, you've got to stop blaming everything else and just start owning your own responsibility for it. And you've got to say, sure, it was bad. I looked at that testimony of Ron Archer that we just heard this morning, and you think, wow, how on earth did anybody ever get anywhere after experiencing that? Well, the reality is that they took responsibility, they owned what they needed to do, and they moved beyond that. And that's what we have to do. How can I say I'm responsible for what happens to me in the future? There is fate, luck, politics, greed, envy, wicked and jealous people, and other negative influences that I have greater bearing on my future than I have. You make a choice. No matter what you've had experience, you need to make a choice how you'll respond. How can I ever be happy seeing how bad my life has been? My parents made me what I am today. The problem is my family have influenced who I am and what I will be, and there is nothing I can do to change that. Racism, bigotry, prejudice, sexism, ageism, and closed-mindedness all stand in the way of my becoming what I really want to be. No matter how hard I work, I will never get ahead. You have to accept the luck of the draw. I am who I am. There's no changing me. No one is going to call me crazy, depressed, or troubled and then try to change me. So all of those things, if you find yourself saying those things, you realize I'm not accepting responsibility for myself. That's what you're doing. So if you find yourself saying those, you need to say, no, I need to accept responsibility. A term used to describe those who have not accepted personal responsibility include martyrs. They're a martyr about everything. Everything is like, you know, like you have to feel sorry for them. Self-pitying, depressed, losers, quitters, chronically angry, dependent personalities, complainers, addictive personalities, blamers, stubborn persons in denial, troubled people, stuck, fearful, pessimist, despondent, mentally unstable, obstinate, hostile, aggressive, irresponsible, weak, guilt-ridden, resistant to help, passive, irrational, insane, neurotic, obsessed, and lost. So those are all descriptions that have been given by that psychologist to help us to understand and identify, I need to own personal responsibility for my life. So I'm not saying that the pain is not significant or is not more than we can bear at times. There is a book that I just had recommended to me last week. It's called Mending the Soul, and so might be one that you would like to go through. It's Understanding and Healing from Abuse. And so it's called Mending the Soul. It's one that might help give some tools that are even deeper if you would need to look at that or even recommend that to someone. Spoke with someone just recently that their son had actually experienced sexual abuse on the mission field. That parent had also experienced sexual abuse as a teen, a young, in fact, three different occasions from an uncle and other associates. And so they were working through this book and finding some real healing and help as a result of it. Unhealthy boundaries fail to accept personal responsibility. So bottom line, that's what's happening. When we have unhealthy boundaries, we're failing to accept. And so what we need to do, once again, you hear me say, if you've experienced abuse, it's not your fault. And I want you to understand that. But don't stay there. Don't stay stuck in that mindset. Move beyond and realize that I have to accept responsibility for what I do and what I need to do from this point on. Have you taken from the tree or eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Now, I think this is really classic because this happens all the way around. So unhealthy responses and not accepting responsibility is right here very clearly from the very beginning. So they violated a commandment. God said, put it in the middle. This was a boundary. Don't violate. Don't go over this boundary. And when God confronted Adam with, you know, did you do this? Now, instead of Adam saying yes, which could have brought healthy results, he blames God. Do you see this? He said, the woman you put here with me. Now, I mean, I don't think that was like the smartest response. If you're going to blame God, the woman you put here with me. He blamed then the woman. She gave it to me. And what choice did I have? I hate it. Owning responsibility comes down. If you've been in a situation and you've lost it, own your responsibility. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have lost control. You need to own your own responsibility to make sure. Unhealthy boundaries fail to fill the real need in our lives. And so they fail to fill that. So what happens in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. We'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, what happened is, because a problem began to arise, and they saw that, they realized that there was a need for them to be able to develop the boundaries so they could be able to fill the real need that was there. And so whenever we're in a situation, healthy boundaries will help create a healthy attitude and spirit toward things, and that needs to be retained. Now, unhealthy boundaries will fail to use our energies in the areas where God intended. And so here's what happens for a lot of situations. I plead with you, Yodi, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with others whose names are in the book of life. In the church, here's what often happens. People get involved in things that are going to create a use of energy in the wrong direction. When people are gossiping and quarreling among each other, guess what that does? That drains energy from us being able to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, it's going to take away. That's why Scripture is so strong about gossip. That's why, you know, we find it really easy to shift to other categories and other things of influence and say, you know, boy, real Christians shouldn't act that way or shouldn't do that or Christians shouldn't do that. But the Scripture talks about gossip, you know, more than any of those. And yet we fall into that so quickly and easily. And so what happens? Energies that should be used to bring in people to Christ are lost because they're consumed in trying to bring peace among the body of Christ. Real important that we would understand. Unhealthy boundaries fail to see who we are in Christ. And so they keep us from being able to see who we are in Christ. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my desire is to be effective and productive. And so if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the importance of making sure I'm keeping healthy boundaries and doing what God has called me to. Building healthy relationships through healthy boundaries. That's what God has called each of us. Healthy families, healthy church, healthy personal relationships. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be so that in us that the world may believe that you have sent me. This was his final prayer, John 17, that they may be one, the body of Christ. And so how are you going to make sure the body of Christ is one? Because each of us are personally responsible for helping unity be established. Here's what we have to do. Setting boundaries must include 3 parts, okay? If you, that's the first, a description of the behavior we find unacceptable, be as descriptive as possible. So if you're trying to help someone, and this is on the back of your outline, so be as descriptive, that's your boundary. I will, description of what action you will take to protect and take care of yourself in the event that the other person violates the boundary. And if you continue this behavior, a description of what steps you will take to protect the boundary that you have set. Let's say if you are in a workplace and someone is inappropriate in their response to you, you say, if you continue that. See, now that's really hard And if you've come from maybe an abuse situation and you were abused, you find it harder to stick up for yourself. You find it harder to be able to say that. But you need to make sure that you can come to a point and place where you can set those boundaries. And so you say, if you continue in this behavior, then I will go to authority or go to the person and I will respond. And if you continue, I will. You make sure that you have those parts in your description. When you're working with a child and you're parenting, you need to have consequences for what you're saying. So, you know, if this is your child, you have to say, well, now if you continue to do this, I want you to understand I will. And then you give your guidelines, and, you know, if you continue, then you won't have this anymore. Like, this is, so you've got to make sure you have that. Once you start teaching healthy boundaries in your relationship, doesn't matter what age or what place or where it is, then you start experiencing healthier relationships. Because healthy boundaries realize that life is full of choices. There are lots of choices that are a part of that. And so if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. We all make choices. Happiness is a choice. Love is a choice. We are choosing whether or not we're going to do that. Healthy boundaries will realize that I am responsible for my own choices. I am responsible. No one else makes choices for me. I am making them myself. I am responsible for those. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This is healthy. He totally owned all of his responsibility. He totally owned what he has done to be able to violate the boundaries. And so that's what is a part of that. And that's why some people fall into relationships. Maybe you're in a relationship with an unhealthy person, and they say, oh, I'm really sorry, I'll never do it again. Unless they own full responsibility for all that they've done, you can't trust them. And then just because you forgive does not mean you trust. So if you forgive someone for violating your boundaries, at that point, then you put up a boundary further out that's going to say, I forgive you, but I'm not going to let you do that to me again. And so you may have to do that, and you may have to make sure that's in the place. Now, that's a healthy way to respond to whatever has come to you. And you need to make sure you're seeing a healthy response. And sometimes you may need a third party, like a counselor, like someone who can help you to process through this, especially if it's hard for you to understand boundaries and where to put those. You need somebody else to help you see that. So healthy boundaries are continually in a process of growth and understanding. So I'm constantly learning how to establish those healthy boundaries. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. The key to this is I have learned. It's a constant process of learning and growing. Healthy boundaries develop healthy relationships. So if someone is constantly taking advantage of you, what do you need to do? Don't just get frustrated and annoyed. Set up a boundary and just say, you know what? I can't keep doing this. I'm sorry. We're going to have to put a boundary in place. You're crossing over this line, and I can't continue. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That is the message of the gospel of Christ. He wants us to be in healthy relationships. He wants us to be able to be in with healthy boundaries. And sometimes that's a learning process for all of us. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thanks for your word that is so clear and given us instruction. Help us that we would hunger and thirst to know you more. Help us to realize that no matter what's come into our world, what's come into our life, that the power of the Holy Spirit is greater to bring healing, to bring help and strength, to bring transformation. Lord, we hunger to know you more and to walk in healthy relationships. In Christ's name. Amen. May God bless you and go with you.